लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today it's a kind of special episode because we give a spotlight to an event that happens two times per year now. It's an event for the industry in the vertical space based in LA, this event. And I have four people here in the podcast. One of them is the founder of the LA Vertical Drama Market. The other three girls you may know, critics and also attendees to the Vertical Drama Market. And we want to give this LA Vertical Drama Market now an episode, a bit more attention, that every one of you knows what's happening there. And you will see in this year, in November, will be the next one. So maybe one of you will join and have some new informations about. So I'm saying hello to Dana. She's the founder of the LA Vertical Drama Market. To Dahlia, you know her already from the recaps. To Caitlin, you know her also from the recaps. And to Sarah from the Philippines. Welcome to the podcast, ladies. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I've never been to the LA Vertical Drama Market because it's a bit far from here to Germany. And to be honest, I heard last year a bit of it. And when it happened this year in May again, I heard a bit more about it. But I'm sure that there are people out there who haven't heard about the LA Vertical Drama Market yet, or not much. So Dana, I would be more than happy if you can introduce yourself and tell us about what was your intention for this LA Vertical Drama Market, what for whom is it, and what is the idea behind it?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Dana. And I founded LA Vertical Drama Market last year, and already we had two editions. The idea was to build the industry around verticals, because right now everyone is talking about verticals. You can see new articles popping up like every week, but like, let's say like 1 year ago, it wasn't that big. Like it was just starting. And as I was working on sets, I saw a lot of people who were hopeful about this format, but there were also a lot of skepticism about this format, that it will be like another Quibi, that it just badly written content, and we are just shooting it just to pay our bills. And I saw potential in this format. I wanted to build industry about it. And like, it wasn't a space in the US where people can learn about verticals, where they can talk to each other beyond that, and where they can just meet other creators who also want to elevate the format, wants to do something amazing with this space. So that's how Vertical Drama Market started. And to be honest, it was a very big undertaking for me. Like the very first time like I saw about it, it was like I thought about this in the end of 2024, and I was like, no, like it's too big. I won't be able to pull it off. And then I started doing monthly mixers, and people started to come. They wanted to learn about this format. They wanted to mingle with people who work in this space. And I was like, okay, maybe I should do it. And I'm very glad I did.
So it's kind of, let's say, business meeting platform in person, where people can join whatever they are doing in the industry. I mean, as I saw so far, I watched through the panels you did in May and stuff. There are a lot of different type of crew members, also business people in this industry. So what was your, let's say, target group for this one?
I would say that we target different audiences because, like, the idea is to have, like, the way I'm trying to build a like vertical drum market is like cons film market, but for verticals. Like, everyone goes to cons to learn everything about film industry, meet people, sell their movies, show their movies on Cannes Film Festival. That's what I'm trying to build with LAVDM as well. I would say that we have like two. Like three different segments of target audience. First one are those people who already work in the space and they want to mingle with other creatives. They want to learn more. They want to get new projects, get new gigs, sell their shows. It's one group. Another group of people are the people who just heard about this format and they are like recent graduates, college students. They are coming to learn about this format, like everything there is. And there is a similar group, but a bit more experienced people. Those are like Hollywood people who worked in the industry for 20, 25 years. And now there is vertical boom, vertical evolution. And they don't really understand what's happening. And they know that they need to adapt. And it's, I would say that it's just a bit higher level people who also want to learn about this format.
So you did your first LA vertical drama market last year. When did it happen and who helped you organize it? I mean, I cannot imagine that you did all on your own, right?
Well, it was kind of me mainly. Last year, it happened in the end of September. I had one person who was helping me during the summer, like for a few
Okay.
weeks. Then I had like it was a very learning experience to me. So I didn't have like a core team as I had this year. Closer to the end of the event, I guess it was like 4 weeks before the event, I found a good marketing agency who helped me with performance marketing, social media marketing, all of that creative part. Also, I found my producer who helped me with everything location wise. And otherwise, I think I was really lucky to find the right people basically like 3 weeks before the event or even closer.
Okay.
It was like
Okay.
that.
So how many sleepless nights you had before the first one?
It was a lot. It was a lot. I guess after market, I slept like 16 hours or something. It was crazy.
When the first LA vertical drama market was finished, were you satisfied or were you, let's say, not disappointed, but what were your thoughts about the first one after you did it? Turned it out how you imagined it, or was it a bit different than you imagined it?
I would say that it went way better than I imagined. Like we had press who showed up and I didn't even know that they will show up. We had like Eyes on Hollywood on site. We had Forbes coverage on the third day of the event. Just like a journalist from Forbes comes in and like someone is telling me that like, oh, hey Dana, there is a guy from press. He's from Forbes. He wants to like take an interview, and I'm like. I thought, okay, like maybe someone didn't buy a ticket and they want to like get in or whatever. And then like I meet that it's a real guy and he's like really from Forbes. And then like 2 days later we have an article in Forbes mentioning LA vertical drama market is like the first market in the US. And I'm like, oh my God. I think that like all of the work that I've put through, it paid off in a very unexpected way.
And how was the feedback you got after that?
We had amazing feedback. I guess people liked really the vibe and energy of the market because all the people who came, they weren't like bad-mouthing vertical industries. They were really invested into the industry. They wanted to know everything there is about to know about verticals. They wanted to get in. They wanted to make it better. Like it was a very like driving force event.
How did it come up that you did the second one in May? So let's say recently, round about 8 months after the first one.
I would say that I announced about it like on the last day of the first market because I know that the industry is very fast paced. So we are very far from like September even now, and I can't imagine what the industry will be even in September. So I think that because of the fast pace right now, everywhere, especially in the vertical space, we need to have like semi-annual markets.
That makes sense. And the second LA vertical drama market is over now. And if you look now back to the second one, what has changed to the first one? What was, let's say, new, better, bigger? What was it if you compare both of the happened vertical drama markets?
I would say that we learned a lot of lessons after the first one, even though like it turned out like the best way possible. I think there were a lot of things where we get really lucky in a way. So this year we knew that like what we needed to prepare. We wanted to do like level up in terms of everything. Like let's say in the first one we had around 20 events. So we had like 13 panels, and I guess we have six or seven writing lab. This year we had more than 50 events
Okay, so
during
more than
those.
double.
Yeah, during those events we had more than 400 people like attending the market. We had more booths. Like last year we did like we had one filmmaking booth and we had like sponsor booths. And this year we had, I guess, seven or eight booths like outside the event. It was more resembling a market because we had companies presenting their services, their products. We had a lot of creatives who were trying to sell their shows or their scripts. And I guess it's something that is also a good sign that the industry is changing. Like 6 months ago, it was the platform who had a script, and here's a production company. You go shoot, we will take all the money, we will take everything, and you just execute whatever we give you. Right now, a lot of filmmakers, especially the ones who were doing short films, who were doing indie features, they like instead of doing that, they okay, like I can do a vertical. So they are coming up with their own scripts, with their own production teams, and they deliver like a pretty good quality of verticals right now. And it's very promising. So I think that like the thing that changed the most, it was like the scale, and that this market resembled more the market like in the classic term.
I saw, and you said it already, you had round about 50 parts of it, or let's say panels and all of that. How do you, or what factors do you consider when you are planning these panels? I mean, I saw you had a writer panel, you had a cinematography panel, you had so many different type of panels. How do you consider what is not needed, but what the people wanna see or hear?
So, like the feedback I get from the last market was like a lot of people learned everything about the market because the first market was structured like day one was like very introductory, like what is a vertical, how to do it, like general things. Day two was like very production oriented about production in LA, production in other countries and states, all of that. And day three was about challenges, AI, future of verticals. And I've heard that some experienced people like they enjoyed the market, they enjoyed the connections they made, but for them it was like they knew all of that, so they didn't need that much like groundwork, like explaining that vertical is a feature film cut into blah blah blah. Like they didn't know all of this. They didn't need all of that. So this time I thought, okay. And we also another feedback we had that people who went to the writing lab who had never written a vertical. For them, it was like groundbreaking because they learned like everything about how to write the script, how to pitch it, how to position yourself as a writer. So because of those feedbacks that I received, I thought, okay, like, so we have already people, and like the time passes, so we have more and more people who work in the verticals for like 1 year, 2 years. So like, what we can do for them that it will be interesting for them. So I would say for them, they wanted to know more about the trends, where the industry is going. So all the panels this year, they weren't introductory. They were about the current state of the industry, the brands, AI, business of vertical dramas. It was more about the current state of industry and where the industry is going. And everyone who wanted to learn, we made labs. So we had writing labs this year. We had eight different labs, each lab for every part of filmmaking. And the idea of that was that I know a lot of people try to transition forward, like to verticals, but every time it's kind of like a catch-22, like you never work in verticals and you can't work in verticals and you can't get that one gig that will let you in. So for those people, I wanted to give them the opportunity to learn how to adapt their skills into verticals. And I think that worked. Like this basically division in terms of the audiences and what they need, it worked.
So, what have you learned from the last one? What will change to the next one? You said already the vertical space is so fast-paced. So, I think there will be a bit changes or new stuff in the third one now. Learning from every vertical market you are doing.
Yeah, I would say there will be definitely changes. We have ideas how to extend, and we want to focus more on practical skills that people can learn. Like even like this year, we tried, okay, like that actors can record their self tapes and then give it to casting director like on day two basically, and receive feedback. So we want to enhance more practical skills and something that can be valuable to our attendees, but it's still in development because we haven't like we did the budget yesterday. It was like more of a wish list than a budget, and now we need to like think every part through, but it will definitely be changing. We want to have more booths, we want to have more companies. We want to have more. We are trying to find a way to leverage people who are content creators and who have already done their verticals. We're just thinking about the way, like how to position themselves so they can sell their shows. So it's all in progress, but I would say that we also want to, like just take a moment and see what's happening in the industry. Because right now, AI is going crazy. It definitely changes the landscape. So I don't want to like confirm anything about programming probably until late July, just because whatever we will plan right now, it won't be relevant. It may not be relevant like in September or October.
So what are the most challenges organizing an event like this?
I don't know if you want to start where to start. I would say that it's another full-time job which isn't paid. That's the first thing. And budget constraints is probably what's the hardest, because like in order to do this, you need a team and you can't pay your team upfront because you don't get money until a few weeks before the event. Because like even like when we analyzed all the sales, all the ticket sales, all the confirmations, everything goes like 3, 4 weeks before the event top. And you can put whatever deadlines you want. We put the deadlines for companies this year. It was 3 weeks before the event. A week, no, 2 days before the event, I had companies who wrote me like, "Can I have my information in the guide?" And like the guide was already like printed. And so I would say that timing and like how to put it, I don't even know how to put it right. The biggest challenge is money versus time. Because time is always against you in this place. And another thing that happened to me this year was basically two things. First of all, that a lot of speakers couldn't confirm until the very last minute because they are shooting. We wanted to have more actors, directors, producers. They're like, "Oh, yes, I would like to do that. But if I have a show, I will cancel. And you can't announce properly, people. Like, we were announcing, but it was like we can announce and then the person can cancel. It wasn't a very good thing. And what else? And another thing was that a lot of press people were interested in this year's market. And we gave a lot of press passes, but then not, I would say only one third of them actually came to the event. So I know that that week was crazy because it was the week when like Netflix announced that they are doing something with Vertical. There were like a lot of big announcements, like in the like around the market time. A lot of people were going to cons, but still, like this part, like you know, like to stay visible in this space, it's becoming more competitive and more challenging as well.
So, would it be helpful or more helpful for you to finance this event with sponsors already?
We had some sponsors for this event. I would say that sponsors are more interested in this space than like last year, but still, like it's not that much of the interest that can help you significantly.
How is the reaction? Or were there also people from platforms interested in the LA vertical drama market to do, let's say, to show their platform, or what did they do?
So like we had some platforms. We had MovePix, who was our sponsor. They also had a booth. We had Inverted. We just launched, I believe, like yesterday or today. I saw information that they are already available. They also had a booth. We had my platform, also like Vertigo Media. We also had a booth. Other people from platforms, they were as the speakers, as they were like regular attendees. But I would say that the interest from platforms is almost like the majority of interest comes from US platforms, other platforms who are like newer players. Like this year we had DramaBox, because I feel like DramaBox, they try really hard like to understand the US audience. They want to grow. They have a lot, they hired a lot of like US writers, producers, directors. But there are some platforms who I feel like they aren't interested in the industry at all. For them, it's more as business of content. They understand how it works. They know all the secrets. They don't want to share it, like not even on the panels, because they think that they are winning this game. And I feel like it's also very like learning process. Like we are still like in a very emerging phase as the industry. And probably like the lesson I've learned this year was that like you can't put the same rules like as like let's say like cons film market has or AFM to vertical space, because it's a different space. It's a space on the edge of technology, entertainment, and even human behavior. So like it won't work. So like I guess it's like you always need to be adaptable and have open mind to change the strategy if you need to.
If you wouldn't have a budget restrict, what would be a part you would love to have on the vertical drama market, or would love to do on the vertical drama market?
What I would love to do.
Yeah, what you would love to have. If I can grant you a wish, what would it be for the your vertical drama market?
I would probably take a week. And I will mix it, so I will have industry market, and I will have a proper vertical festival where we will screen a lot of different verticals, where we will invite cast, directors, producers of every show. We will talk about vertical shows. We will watch and then we will talk about it. It's something that I don't believe it's really happening. It's just starting. We will have more booths. We will have a better location. We will have accommodation offered to people who are coming from all over the world, because we want to, like, even though like everyone is going online, I still believe that offline brings different value. It brings the connection and like real-time connection, offline connection. And if you offer online option, people from LA will buy online options. That's what happened the first year. People were like flying from New York, but people from other side of LA, they were, oh, I will just listen to panels online. And I was like, okay. Yeah, so it will be bigger in that place. We will have food on site also included in the ticket price. And
Kind of catering service.
yes, we'll have catering service, and we will have like a team of 20 people.
Okay. Yeah, m maybe, you know. No, to be honest, I was a bit sad that online joining was not possible because for me it was not possible to fly to LA. So I depended on what the ladies are telling me about this LA vertical drama market, you know. So and that's why I also invited these three other lovely ladies because Dahlia and Caitlin attended the both vertical drama market when I'm right. Sarah, it was the first time for you now. So how was it? I mean, Dahlia, when you attended both, how did it change for you looking back to the first one and now to the last one in May?
Well, the first one, I joined it almost as an experience. I added it on as an experience to Verticon. I went to Verticon, which was the fan event. And I think Caitlin and I both kind of had that in mind. We came into LA for the purpose of of Verticon, and we came in a few days in advance. I was very close to Steven Marana. And he told us about the market, and we had a chance to even speak to Dana. And we signed up, bought tickets, and said, let's see what this is all about, because we were reviewing. So we knew that speaking to creatives and speaking to actors in a space that wasn't fan driven, would help us understand the process on how verticals are made. It would help us understand the really everything involved, how many people are involved in this space. And it's the one thing that drew me to the second one, because now I have 8 months under my belt, and I was able to use the knowledge from the first one. I kind of inserted it into my reviews and built relationships with creatives that now seeing me at the second one, we're able to put two and two together and say, oh, you're the one that wrote blah blah blah. You know what I mean? Like it kind of helped in the networking space. It helped in the networking space. It helped teach me a lot more, not only about writing, but about branding. Obviously, I've been in sales in the CPG industry. So anything that has to do with branding and how branding can help in verticals, it may not be directly linked to my job, my career, but I always say you never know. You know,
Yeah, true.
I never want to walk away from something and say, oh, I don't need to learn about that. I rather learn about everything. So why wouldn't I take something that I am in and something that I love, and if there's a chance to blend it together, 100% every time.
Caitlin, you have also been on both, right?
Yes. Yep.
What was the thing you learned from the first and took out of the second one?
The first one again was like Dahlia said, definitely the networking, but also understanding the industry and how it ticks, for lack of a better wording, just made me understand the verticals themselves a little bit more and why certain things happen the way they do or why they don't happen like I previously thought they should. By that time, I had kind of already had a little bit of interest in getting into the industry in the acting aspect. So I also wanted to see, okay, what's different between that and the traditional horizontal industry, and just kind of understand the industry as a whole better. The networking was a definite bonus, and it's actually where Dolly and I met for the first time ever. So I gained a best friend out of that. Many, many other friendships. So that was the wonderful part of it. And then coming back for the second time, this time I was very honored to be part of, as a speaker. The labs were a huge and wonderful addition, in my opinion. I learned so much in the labs and gained an even deeper understanding, but also respect for the industry and what these folks do. But also, what was really nice about this one is there was even more of a larger group of creatives wanting to know the other end, the viewer end of things. I had a surprising amount of people, directors, producers, writers come up to me afterwards and say, "Oh my gosh, you know, what you said about the audience perspective was amazing. I had no idea. And you guys sound incredibly knowledgeable about the industry. We're really surprised." And I, you know, to have that kind of open dialogue to me is really, really important. And I kind of iterated that with some of the conversations I had. You know, it's me being here is wonderful because it opens up that dialogue, not from industry to the end game, the audience. And I think that's something that a lot of the companies and apps that aren't showing up, that are refusing to show up. You know, I think they're missing out on that key component. And, you know, I think these people, because they're having that dialogue and they're going to this convention, I think they're actually taking a step further than the companies that are refusing to come. The ones that are refusing to come just don't know it yet. So.
And I will, and I'll add that Dana was very forward thinking when she put together certain people to speak. Not, I mean, I was honored that she asked me to speak in the writers panel to do the audience perspective. But not only that, in the first one, she had a fan panel that was not only very well attended, but everybody had questions for the three panel members. And what that did is in this one, from the moment that Caitlin and I and Sarah sat down, we were surrounded by directors, by writers, by producers.
Like the
I'm telling
bees,
you,
they
we could have
came
our
to
own little
you.
island. If we could have our own little island and say a moment with the fans or something like that, I'm telling you, a fan panel every single day would be full in questions, because that's all I got is the entire time we spoke about the audience perspective, because it's something that creatives never get.
So you have the
Well,
feeling that
none.
they are really interested in what the
Yes,
audience
everyone
wants?
wants to know what the fans think, and they don't have a voice. It's not only because it's not only a fan's perspective, it's a fan's perspective from someone that understands what they go through also. It's not just, "Oh, Johnny's hot." It's not, you know what I mean? It's not the fangirl's perspective. It's an actual critic that understands what they go through, the production value, you know, that the director has to go through 12 hours a day just to get someone to do something correctly. You know what I mean? All of us have been on some kind of set or have spoken to some creative, and we understand the limitations really that are put on them. And to hear our perspective as audience, as critics, and as fans, I think helps them elevate what they do on a day-to-day basis.
And
Right.
so
It's
if I
that
could just
missing.
say, it's that missing puzzle piece that not every single app is acknowledging or putting weight on, you know. Sometimes they're kind of discounting it. And kind of what it was hinting at before is if you don't have that puzzle piece, you're not gonna complete the puzzle at the end, even though you think you have all the pieces. So I just think that the apps who think they don't need the fan perspective are the ones that it in the long term aren't going to last. So it was really nice to hear and see these other creatives, other apps, other executives, or whatever, saying, "Oh yeah, there's value in hearing from that end, from the other side of the viewing audience, from the other side of the app." You know, it was a great, great dialogue back and forth. I loved it.
Yeah, and if I could just add also, like a lot of the conversations we've been having with creatives who aren't part of the apps would always tell us when they talk with apps, they'd only hear about the numbers. This one hit a certain number, but there's really no like corresponding, like qualitative counterpart to why something makes sense or why something is a hit. And so when they talk to the audiences, they have a better understanding as to why something actually gives the clicks, something actually gets like the watches and the views. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're the person who actually clicked on my show and made it successful. Why? Why was it? Because when you look at numbers, it doesn't explain the why. It just says that this works, this doesn't. But there's really like that gap where why does it work? And that's why a lot of the times we would talk to apps as well. They would really approach us and be like, so why did you like this show? Like very specifically, why did this make sense for you? And then we would talk about it. Like we like the romance, we like the character development, we didn't like this part. So that's something that numbers will never really be able to fully give a picture of.
Wow.
So that's the importance of
And that's thanks to
like
Dana.
talking to real people. And
So
I would like,
Sarah, I have a question for Sarah. I'll come back to you in a few. Sarah, you joined the first time the LA vertical drama market in LA. With what
Yes.
expectations you went there?
So I'm already good friends with Dahlia and Meg, who were at the first vertical drama market, and they've been telling me about like the kinds of like substantive connections that they built during their first experience. And my background, so just without going too deep into it, my background, I'm really an industry analysis, economic growth policy person in my day, like in my day job, in my career. I do industry analysis, economic development for creative industries in the past. Like I've handled the creative industry sector for almost 8 years. So I always say that like half of the reason why I got so hooked into vertical dramas is because I see it from an industry perspective. I saw how it was so globally present, like how the Philippines, like I would always watch it and be like, oh my gosh, the Philippines could definitely, have a space here in this industry, because the Philippines, we love our drama. A lot of the stories, a lot of the tropes are similar to the tropes that are big hits in the Philippines. And when people would talk about the excessive slapping in verticals, I'd be like, oh, it's just a regular day in a Filipino telenovela, so it's just like it was so fascinating for me that every time I would watch a vertical, I would always make parallels about how these are things that make sense in a Filipino household when they watch. And when you look at data, like that was published in 2024, you'd see the Philippines was number three of real shorts of view downloads. The Philippines would always be like the top five of downloads of the app of vertical drama apps. And that's where I would always come in. Like I am such a geek when it comes to industry numbers, economic figures, and all of that. Dahlia knows this so well. So I always come into that with that perspective. And so when I was planning a trip to LA, I was debating, like, there are so many events that are being put up right now, that are trying to bring in like different perspectives on the industry. And when I was looking through each and every one of them, I really thought that it was the LA vertical drama market that made the most sense in the way that I like consuming my content. And I'm not saying that just because Dana's here in the call with us, right? But
No, I can
but you
attest
paid
exactly
her,
how she decided it.
Dana.
Yeah.
You paid her or what?
No,
Just
I paid full price for my ticket.
just
So
kidding. Just kidding.
it was really something that when I looked into it, I was like, okay, this is really something I want to go into. I really want to understand where this is going. Is this something that, is sustainable? Is this something that makes sense for me to continue pursuing? Because I've been in my own time. So this is not my day job. This is like literally a side quest of mine. So like my side quest right now is really talking to Filipino creatives, talking to the Philippine government about how great investments in vertical drama could be for the Philippines if we just like tried to get out there and like understand what's going on. And so when I saw the program of the vertical drama market, I was like, okay, this makes so much sense for me if I want to continue convincing, Filipinos to really be part of the industry. And I was so lucky because I met Filipino vertical drama app Bitsy Play. They are the first Filipino app built ground up So the technology, everything, they built it themselves. They did, because like a lot of the apps anywhere in the world, they would buy IP from China or from an existing technology provider already, and then they will just populate it with their stories. But Bitsy Play is so serious about how they want to position themselves as the space for Filipino creatives to, place their stories. And I felt that it was a match, it was a good match. It was easy for me. So they sponsored my trip. They sponsored my trip to the LA Vertigo
That's
Drama Market.
nice.
It was the easy, yeah, right? It was the easiest thing for me to build a concept note for, because I was like, this is what you're going to get from me when I go there. I'm going to be able to meet these directors, these producers, these apps who might want to have Philippine content in their apps, so that we can further, spread how great our stories are. And actually, we have a meeting with Dana's with Dana's app as well. So I got to talk to Becca during the time when I was walking around the booths. I got a great conversation with Becca going on. And so these are things that I feel I would not be able to get in other in other events that were there. As much as I love the organizers, as much as they are my friends, as much as I think I would have a great time like hanging out with the actors or meeting fellow fans in those spaces, when I look at like my personal motivations and where I see myself in this space and how I see myself growing in the space, I really felt that with my business perspective, with my business economic perspective, like the Vertical Drama Market was such the perfect place for me to understand not just the LA space, but the global impact of verticals. And I loved that you had a panel on the global vertical market perspective, because it was just further like affirming me that, okay, yeah, I needed to be here. I needed to listen to the Brazilian, perspective. I needed to listen to Wen speak on how it was in China. I needed to listen to all of these different perspectives. And you there are some that have the same kinds of panels, but not in the same like weight that it's in person, that they really pulled all of these different nationalities to come into LA and be here in the same panel and meet each other. So that was really cool. And that was my deciding factor. That was really my deciding factor. It was really that it had this, it was very business minded. It was very industry minded. And that was fun. That was fun for me as a geek.
So it was
So
not the
yeah.
last time you joined the LA Vertical Drama Market?
I hope not. I hope not. Dahlia's really trying to find a way for me to be there in November. So So I like I said, this is not my day job. This is my side quest. So I do need to make sure I have enough leaves left in the year to go to the November one. But I think it could work out. Let's see. It was worth my while. I do think that it was worth flying from the Philippines to understand the industry, because there's really not much like interactions of the same level for verticals in Southeast Asia. There are similar conversations that happen in like within certain fora, like within the Asian TV forum, or like the different storytelling or media forum in the Philippines, like 80, I think it's ATF. But like just to be like specifically and only about vertical dramas, that was such an experience. That was such a worthwhile experience for me to check out.
Dana, was there something in a panel or in a lab talked about you yourself didn't know about the space? Did you learn from your own event also?
To be honest, I didn't have time to sit on any panel. I think I was running around like every day. So I'm just like hearing what other people are saying. So I'm glad
Did you
they
count
enjoyed
your steps you run every day?
it. I couldn't stand by the end of the day, because we also had like happy hour and everyone was like standing and walking. But I'm glad that people learned a lot. That was like one of the goals I had, so.
How did you get, or how did you try to get the feedbacks about the market that you have opinions about it? Maybe, let's say, some answers to grow the market, in which way you should grow, or what is more needed or wished for?
Like this year, we did actually in the guide, we had a feedback form, but I guess no one filled it in. I guess we had around like from 5 to 10 responses around that. But
I didn't
what we
even
did
see it, to
this
be honest.
time, yeah,
I'll send it to you though.
we can actually like send it out like to people like closer to July, so like they can share their opinions. I would say that also like what we did this year, we had speaker form. I guess last year it was crazy. Like I was communicating with speaker on my own, and I had some speakers talking through like talking with me through LinkedIn, somewhere on Instagram, somewhere through email, and it was a mess. So this year we had a speaker form. So every person was putting like what topics they want to speak about. And it also helped me like in terms of, okay, like where can I put this person? Because I know that this person is knowledgeable, that he or she's been working in the industry for a long time, but like where do I put them? And it was really helpful. And regarding the feedback, what I did this time, so a lot of people or like on the first day of the market, second day of the market, like, oh my God, like it's such a nice event. I've learned all of that. And they were talking all that to me. And I was like, it should be on camera. So on day three, I had a volunteer following me with the camera. And she was recording like whatever people are saying to me. I haven't checked like all of those videos, but I have them. And also like Megan, she was taking interviews with people like on the red carpet. So I guess like this year we had better coverage in terms of like feedback, just like feedback on screen as well.
Because I can imagine. I mean, as you said, you are totally stressed the whole days, and I think it's hard to remember everything you'd get told in these days because you are not really in the moment when someone is talking to you because you were a bit, let's say, thinking about all the next happenings. So, what would you? I mean, you are planning the third LA Vertical Drama Market in November, right? Do we have the date already?
It's November 5 to 7.
Okay, 5 to 7. So, everyone who wants to join 5 to 7 of November in LA, you can already plan it in your calendar. What are the plans for this third one? I mean, more panels and more labs, or do you say, okay, around about the 51 was enough to organize and we were happy about what we could offer?
I think that it's still an open question. We had a good plan how to make people busy with more practical side of vertical filmmaking. It just like it's not locked yet. We haven't thought it through, but it will be something that people will come specifically for that. It's just that I'm like if we are switching more to like practical skills, I'm not sure like how many panels we should have and what the situation with labs will be. I don't have like 100% answer for that right now. And I want to see what's happening in the market. I can definitely say that we'll have more of AI stuff.
So you want to do more
What? You
kind
don't
of
have a plan yet?
workshops?
Come on, you have a list.
I have a
You're
budget.
good.
I have a wish list budget twice as much as we had last year. So
Only
let me say
5 months
that.
left, Dana.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I was never an event planner. And when I did first event, okay, like I did first event, I knew that I needed to do a second one. But after the second one, I realized that it's like a merry-go-round which never stops. And I need to go to do like every 6 months new events. And some people were asking me like on day three of the market, like what you will do for the next one. And I'm like, please
I
don't talk to me
don't
about the next market for the next 2 weeks, at
So you
least.
need a PA or what?
No, actually, like what I need a team. So I had a good producer, I have a good person with communications and like speaker communication and programming, but I need more people. I've already put it out in my mind like who I need to have, but I haven't figured out like the whole thing yet.
So, if anyone of the industry let's say, who already is in the industry in any type of working, is interested to be a part of the LA vertical drama market, what should they do
They
so
should reach
that they
out to
can be
me
parked?
and they should tell me what they want to do. And then we will figure it out. I guess the biggest problem with the market is that a lot of people, they like the idea, they want to help, but it's not on top of their priority. And at some point, like, I can't work with people who, for whom the market isn't a priority, because then it's like I need to, like, I've tried to work with some people that I'm like, yeah, like, we will help you. And they were offered money even, and it kind of like I need those emails sent by 12 p.m., not at 9 p.m. because it doesn't work. It destroys workflow, and a lot of things are very like last minute, and a lot of things should have been done like yesterday or a day before, because it's a vertical space, you know, like everything is like very fast paced. So I think that's the biggest challenge. Like, and I understand that you have other gigs. I have other gigs. So it's like it's about like carving the time and like I don't know, like matching with those people, vibing. It's the most important thing.
I saw this year that, for example, Amo Pictures joined the LA vertical drama market. So I had the feeling that a bit more and more also the Europe people came over to your place. How is it? I mean, how important is it also to get more, let's say, the international? Or the internationality to this LA vertical drama market? Because in my opinion, as I said, I live in Europe, I live in Germany, I see that here in Europe the market is growing more and more, and Amo Pictures is shooting a lot, for example, in the Ukraine and stuff. So how important is it to get really the global people into this LA vertical drama market, or is it more, let's say, kind of niche you want to do with the people around LA and who are already, let's say, in the film industry, Hollywood?
I would say that a lot of productions, even vertical productions, they are leaving LA because LA is very, is, even for verticals, it's becoming a very expensive place to shoot. So they shoot like in Texas, they shoot in Vancouver, they try to shoot in Latin America, in Mexico, in Europe, in Turkey, like all over the world. So international aspect is really important. And like Amo Pictures, for instance, like they sponsored us like last year, and I was really happy that they could have joined us this year. Last year we did Zoom panels. Some people were joining us through Zoom, but it was a bit of a mess with technical aspect. It was very hard for moderator to work like with offline people, with Zoom people. So this time again, we wanted to do everyone offline. So I guess it's a bit I think we are going there. We are in the right direction. We had more people flying to LA for this event this year. But I guess like it's something that will eventually happen as we grow our brand. Because you know, like everyone is coming to Cannes. Like Cannes is booked. Like Cannes is like obviously a very well-established festival and market, but that's what I'm looking for. And another thing which I'm probably considering at some point is like I've been talking to some people who want to franchise the market. So basically we may have one in Middle East, maybe one in Latin America, but it's more of a conversation right now because I don't know the market there. I don't know the audience. And if we want to deliver it on the highest possible quality, we need to know what the people need, you know. Right now there's a lot of like offline online summits, seminars that like teach people about verticals, and a lot of information can be found on LinkedIn. So it's all coming, and I just don't see that like LA is still the biggest hub for verticals beyond China. So like to make it in a different place I'm not sure again, like what the market is, but we are definitely for LA vertical drama market. We definitely want to expand. We want to have more people coming, like Sarah, also like Dahlia and Katie. They also came, even though they came like from other state, but they still traveled. So we want to enhance that.
Dahlia, you said you were in the writer's lab. How worked it? I mean, if someone hasn't been there, how does this work? How can I imagine how it, if I will t attend LA Vertical Drama Market, if I will join a lab, what happens there?
The labs were set, and I didn't do any of the other labs, but I did specifically go to a couple of the other speakers within the writers' lab. And obviously, it's meant for people that are interested in writing vertical, so screenwriters. And it, you gear it towards the specific topic. Like my topic was knowing your audience. You know what I mean? It's understanding the audience. So of course, from a fan's perspective, I was speaking about the audience's tolerance for pacing, for character creation, for development within a project. But I know that Adrian was there, and he spoke about the hook, right? Wasn't he talking about the hook, I think? And you talk about the different. Each speaker spoke about a specific aspect of the script, so it was all meant to go together for a screenwriter to be able to go and talk about different aspects. Either what topic do you want to write about? How do you hook the audience? How do you do the cliffhangers? How do you what topics work? What topics don't work? How do you understand your audience? You know what I mean? It's so when it comes to a lab, and Caitlin could probably talk a little bit about like the actor's lab, I think you went to, the acting lab or the production
Yeah,
lab.
so well, no, I did the actors lab, but I also did the intimacy lab and the stunts lab. And so I did three different kinds, and it was great. So I'll let you finish
Did you
yours,
get
and
to do
then I can talk about
stunts?
mine.
Yeah, and I really think that the labs were kind of meant to be able to give a person that's going to learn a specific thing. Again, from a fan perspective, we tried to attend, like I tried to attend as many panels as possible because I wanted to speak about, I mean, I wanted to learn about the business of verticals. So for me, it was the branding one, the international one. It was how to get the funding for it. You know what I mean? It all had to do with the money because that's really the numbers aspect is what interested me. Obviously, speaking on the writers panel and about the audience perspective was an honor that I was asked to speak. But I also know that a lot of the stuff that I said is stuff that all of the other speakers also spoke about. I just spoke about it from a different perspective, which screenwriters do need to hear as well. But mine was just, one of six different writers panels or writers group, writers labs. So, it really just depends on what a person is looking to get out of it. If a screenwriter is going or a flourishing screenwriter, which Sarah writes, she does plays that screen films. She writes
Scripts.
vertical scripts. And she went to all of them, I think. She went to some at some point you went
Tom.
to see a little bit of each one and just to be able to get the gist of what each speaker was talking about, because you do learn a little bit of different things from each speaker from the different labs.
So how is a lab? Is it a kind of presentation and the people can ask you questions to that, or
Yep. It was a 1 hour. I had a slideshow, and mine was again understanding your audience. And I just, spoke about different things, not only about how I review verticals. I spoke about the pacing, and I spoke about the topics, and I spoke about the chemistry, and how the casting matters. But from a writer's perspective, there's different things. If someone's just writing a piece and they don't quite know who's going to be cast in it, you have to write to a specific audience. If you know who you're casting in it, and you know that an actor has a specific following, you can maybe have a little bit of leeway, because if you know that a certain actor has a specific following, that fan base may be a little bit more lenient towards the rules of pacing. They might be a little bit more patient with you when it comes to wanting to develop a story a little bit further. You know, there are writers that you say, "Oh my God, could this go any slower?" You know, and you just want to skip, 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 skip. But if you're a fan of that actor, they can sit and read the alphabet to you for hours and you'll listen. You know what I mean? So you'll be a little bit more patient if you know that it's your favorite actor. So writers that know ahead of time who they're writing for know that they have a little bit more time. So there's a different perspective from an audience perspective, of how writers can approach a project.
So, Caitlin, you joined Three Labs. What was the most important thing you learned in the labs?
I did. I guess there was like the acting was broken up into a couple different ones. So there, Becca Berg did one of them, and that was kind of like, you know, from the actress's perspective, what it's like to act in verticals. There was a casting director. Just the acting labs were really nice. I really liked them, especially. I didn't leverage it, but Dana spoke a little bit about it earlier, where there were sides available where you could kind of do like a tape, you know, an audition tape, and submit it and have it reviewed. I didn't leverage that because I don't feel like I'm quite there yet, like I'm quite ready. But it was nice to see it, to understand what they're looking for, what casting directors are looking for, what agents, managers are looking for, what their role is, the difference between an agent and a manager and a casting director. But I have to admit, the two best ones, I think, were definitely the intimacy lab and the stunts lab, because those folks actually, for example, the intimacy folks, there was three intimacy coordinators in a lab, and they brought all their equipment and showed us how scenes work to make it look like something's happening, but it's really not. And the protections that they have for the actors and actresses, and then talking about not just the tools, like physical tools, but you know, how they coach them through it, or how they stand up for their actors and actresses when something's not right, and have that dialogue between the production company and the cast as to where are the lines as far as boundaries go, and the mechanics of how to make the scene work while still allowing everybody, cast and crew, to still feel safe and respected on set. That lab was just amazing. We also kind of played with the room that we were in, and went through scenarios of, okay, how would we do a scene in this room? What angles would work and stuff like that. That was fantastic. And then you get to the stunts lab and you learn about, you know, again, how those stunts are carried out, different angles, how to make things look real, but they're not really happening a certain way. To hear some of the stories, both good and bad, from not only the lab speakers, but also people who are also attending the lab, and kind of troubleshooting, you know, those problems, using those scenarios to learn from, and how to approach the same scenario going forward, maybe a little bit differently. So those two labs, I think, were highlights for me. But I definitely think that, like Dana spoke about earlier, I could see them evolving to even more practical, hands-on type labs. There's definitely room for that, in those types of areas. But I really enjoyed all the labs. So great experience, great education.
Sarah, what was your favorite to attend?
Well, I love Dahlia's. Just, I am not being biased. So, like, Dahlia's lab was
Sure.
on the last, yeah, it was on the last day of the market, and every time I would mention that she was speaking at the lab, everyone I would talk to would be like, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to that," and they're right to be, you know, looking forward to that, because it's a perspective that, again, not a lot of creatives have the opportunity to, you know, to hear about, especially since Dahlia has consumed so many verticals. I mean, all of us have, but you hear a lot of people, like when you ask them how many verticals they've watched, they've probably watched probably 50, 100. So we're up like in the thousands already. So
Yeah.
this is a different this is we're not normal consumers. So just to hear, like, out of all these thousands that you've watched, what makes a good vertical for you? It's a good perspective to have, and the way that Dahlia did it was great. She also had a lot of audience participation. It was very interesting to like hear that. I also enjoyed, so I was able to drop by a lot of the different, I even dropped by the director's lab. I have no plans to, be a director, but I just wanted to hear what the directors have to say about the experience of directing a vertical, because I like hearing about the experience, especially to say the reviews. And I really enjoyed the one with Casey. Actually, his went over time a bit because people had so many questions as well, for him. And that was great. I also got to listen to Ira. So I really loved hearing the perspectives of the directors in the director's lab because they're the directors I watch. They're the directors I like to watch. So it was, aside from like the script, the screenwriters, I just like to see how did they execute it. It was really fascinating because that these people are filming what, like 40 pages sometimes, for a banquet scene or a day. But like the sheer speed of how they're filming these verticals, I loved hearing how the directors like strategized it, and like went about filming in a diff in a in an industry that is done so differently from how it's taught in film school. So just seeing just like hearing how they were able to kind of be more innovative and really make the story so interesting for us to watch was super fun. So I didn't sign up for the director's lab, but I'm glad I dropped by the different like sessions. But like Dahlia, I also loved the main panel. So I kind of had to slip out of a lot of the labs, even Dahlia's. I slipped out of Dahlia's lab because it kind of overlapped with the indie verticals panel, which I really wanted to listen to. So yeah, I think that was that the panels are really well curated. I have to give Dana props for that. So yeah.
Yeah, I think we all know that. I mean, we see it every month when we are doing our monthly recaps. There are people in the industry who are really interested what the audience wants to have. So I think it's really great that you had the opportunities to speak and to join the LA vertical drama market. And Dana, I want to ask you one thing. What do you think is needed in the vertical industry to improve?
Honestly, I would say that if people stop comparing traditional space and vertical space, it will be a tremendous help. Because right now, everyone, like, let's say, majority of people who work in verticals right now, they also work in traditional space. And sometimes they try to bring like the same amount of money into verticals. They try to bring unions. They try to bring the same rules, the same hierarchy to vertical space, but it's not really working because it's a different space. Times have changed, right? And I think that hopefully people start to realize that, because like I see the positive dynamics. I see like the increase in quality, but also increase in like positive attitude towards the vertical space. It's something that hasn't been done again. Like 1 year ago, it wasn't there. But treating vertical space as a unicorn, one of its kind, it's not just turning the camera sideways. It's not about the format. It's a different thing. It's a different form of entertainment. We had animation, we have live action. It's very similar. So we have TV, and now we have verticals. It's a different medium. Just like, let's accept it and let's move forward with it.
Who would you love to see more on your LA vertical drama market the next time? You said before some of the press said, yeah, we will support you and didn't show up, or some of the platforms are not even interested. Who would you love to see more on an LA vertical drama market?
I would love to see like more visionaries, like people who think long term, who I would like to see more creatives who did something big in traditional space. I would love to see them at the market as well. Obviously, I would like to see like more people from top press and entertainment who will be interested in this event. But for me, like when I create the program, it's more about like what's in the market right now, what the demand is from the audience, like from the creators, from the people in the industry. Because I believe like if you create like the proper program, like people will show up. Like this year we had people from DGA coming. They were coming to each panel, like they were running around labs and they were really eager to learn about the space, ready to embrace it. So I would say that it all
So,
started in the program. But
if
I
you
would
build
like
it, they will
more
come.
creatives. Yeah.
Ladies, what are you wishing or hoping or expecting for the third LA vertical drama market? Dahlia.
More time.
Yeah.
More time to be able to talk to more people. No, I really did enjoy the times that I was able to speak to a lot of people that did have, especially in like the networking time, the happy hour time. We had a lot of people that took the time to speak to us. So I
So
do
they came
think that it's
just over and
important.
said, "Hi, I want to ask you, or
And I
how
said,
did
I
that
heard,
happen?"
I saw that you're a fan. I follow you on Instagram. I have some questions. Do you mind talking to me?
Okay.
Straight
Oh,
up.
nice.
And that's the one comparison I guess I would make from the first one to the second one is that fan panel. I think that, the fan panel was important. I don't know how you can make it different so that you can focus on only specific categories. And maybe only focus on specific views, let's say to do with story content as opposed to viewing preferences, or you know what I mean? But I think that even if you were to poll creatives on what they would like to ask audience, and it doesn't necessarily have to be us because we're here, but you do have a few consumers of the vertical space that you can pull from to give some kind of an opinion. So I think that the fan panel or a panel that will allow creatives to ask questions of a category that they maybe want to learn more of would benefit. But that's the only thing that I would say because I really wish I had an additional day. An additional day that were the panels were just spread out just a little bit because I felt like I was running from one place to the other. That's the only thing that I would say is the timing aspect. I just felt like there was a lot going on and a lot of people couldn't see everything they wanted to see.
I
But,
would
like me, I wanted to see every aspect of it.
if
Where
you're
a
like me.
screenwriter may only care about the writing lab, so I'm only talking about someone who I'm nosy, I like everything.
It's a very good point, and I guess it was like one of the challenges for us because we know that we wanted to give like a lot of value, but also that we had limited time. But on top of all of that, it was like on the backstage, it was like, how do we keep people
Of
in
course.
the space without them leaving? Because like last year, what we had, people were going, they were leaving, they were setting up meetings together, like somewhere else, and we needed to keep people there. And what was interesting for me is that this year we had a lot of people like staying around, and like happy hour, it wasn't over. Like we needed to basically kick people out because they were still staying, they were talking, and some people after that even go to a bar to like, I don't know where they get their energy from, but Anyway, that was a big challenge. So I guess this time when we see that people are like staying more, maybe we can try doing something different, but it's probably, like we want to create FOMO. So what you are saying, it's like, yes, you wanted to go and like, okay,
Of
great,
course, of
it's
course. Yeah,
working.
you definitely created it. You definitely created it.
What do you wish, Caitlin?
I really liked the second one. I wasn't too bothered by the pacing, only because like, I knew there was going to be more vertical drama markets. I had already been to one, so I w didn't feel overly pressured. If I like, I did miss one acting lab because I was having a really good conversation with a script writer, and a Hollywood producer who's interested in getting into the vertical space. So I'm okay with that because I feel like sometimes, some of the connections or a different lab or whatever can serve you well. So I was good with that. I as far as something I would like to see, it's something that Dana just said she already has in the works is making the labs a little more, particularly the acting one, a little more hands-on and practical. So like, practicing certain scenes, or maybe the writers can practice writing a script or whatever, and just more practical bits. But it sounds like Sherry has that in the works. But I love the first one, and then I went to the second one and I was like, wow, this is even a
Better.
million times better, and I don't know how it can get any more better. Like I am continually impressed. And like I said, I get what Dahlia's saying, but even with my lab, so I was a ver or lab panel, I was the very first panel. It was the evolution of verticals. I still had a lot of people come up to me afterwards and say, hey, I really appreciate the fan perspective from vertical evolution aspect. It was also really nice to have that dial, like I keep going back to us being able to have that dialogue between the industry and the fans. And I just want to point out I think one of the most special parts about the lab that I kind of would love to see an expansion on is that dialogue, because during my panel, there actually was a script writer that said, yep, the data says audiences want abuse to women and slaps and stuff. And I said,
Surely not.
well, I grabbed the microphone from Anina. I kind of felt bad because I just about jumped out of my chair. And I said to him, I said, it depends on what your goal is, what audience is your target goal. I said, because you got to remember that the data is global. I said, if anybody in this room, if your goal is to hit the US audience, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to work. But if you're going to try to hit a global, fine, whatever. If you're going to try and hit Eastern culture, that might work. Europeans, probably not so much, and then Americans, definitely not. Like I said, you can't just, so opening that dialogue, and a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said that specific point when I called out that script writer. They were like, wow, you actually made a really good point because I hadn't thought about that. And again, that's where that open dialogue and this drama market's been wonderful at doing is opening up people's minds to different conversations with the labs, different ways of doing things, whether it be script writing, acting, or doing intimacy scenes, just having that more open dialogue and making sure that everybody gets the chance to have a more well-rounded knowledge, I guess. So I'm very excited to see how that progresses further. Like I said, the only thing I can think of is have maybe having the labs have more hands-on practical like run-throughs.
I have a question, Dana, as an far away person. You said in the first vertical drama market you had kind of, let's say, problem that a lot of people, even they were placed in LA, love to join more online. I was a bit sad that I hadn't the possibility in the second one to join online. So, is there any hope for the third one that we can join online?
I can't say at the moment. I would still prefer to keep it offline. Probably depends on like where we like It depends very much on programming, because as far as I see, like this year we had 50 events and they were spread out like across the location. And if we wanted like to do live, like if we wanted to do live stream of that, we will need like basically camera in every room, a laptop, and a special person who will be in charge of that. I'm not sure what it will be this year. Honestly, I'm not planning it, so I would rather see you in LA. Because right now, if I say that we will have, you won't be planning your trip into LA, you know?
It's,
You
you
should
know,
plan the
it's
trip to
not so
LA.
easy to
Michaela's
jump.
planning her trip. I'm making sure that Michaela's planning her trip.
Okay. LA
I
is
do think
great.
as someone who went in person to both, I have to echo Dana. It definitely was better, had a better quality feeling to it this year, this
Yeah,
time,
sure.
as opposed to the fall. Because like Dana said, the technical issues with trying to get speakers, on the Zoom portion and, waiting to make sure the cameras that are recording for the people watching. It just to me, it didn't. And I know the last time was like the first one, but this time just felt of a higher quality because everyone was present. Everyone was there in the moment. They weren't trying to multitask and do other things on top of being at the Vertical Drama Market. So I am in full support of Dana keeping it fully in person. I will chip in for a plane ticket, Michaela, for you to come out if that's what it takes.
It's not so easy to just jump over from Germany. So that's why I'm asking. Because sometimes I have the feeling that here in Germany you are at the end of the world, what vertical means, you know?
Oh,
Sometimes it's
November
not
is
so
really warm
easy.
in LA, better than in Germany for sure. So,
I spoke to a production company that started recently shooting verticals here in Germany, and Candy Jar is based in Germany, so we're not so bad here in Germany, I would say. But and they are in Munich. The vertical networking starts to grow here in Germany. I spoke to a lot of vertical business consultants and stuff, and there are a lot of workshops in Munich already for vertical networking. The Bavaria film studios are trying to get into the vertical space and stuff. So it's coming. But as usual, the Germans need a bit safety and security. The first 2 years, they just were, yeah, it's a fling. Yeah, it doesn't take. And now they are realizing, okay, it's not just a fling. We should get into. And I saw the first German produced vertical in German. It's a doctor series. It's not so bad, to be honest. And I know that they produced a second one with English spoken actors. So I'm sure that we will come a bit later, but we will come. So if you ever want to do a vertical drama market in Germany, you can contact me. I'm here for you. Because I live in the south, I only have 1 hour to drive by car, and I'm in Switzerland, in Austria, in Luxembourg, everywhere. I'm here the, yeah,
your Europe
just,
connection. There you go.
yeah, I'm the Europe connection. Yeah, maybe. No, this production company I spoke about is only 2 hours away, and I will meet up with them for, yeah, we will see. But if it's possible in any way, I would love to join it in LA, to be honest. But yeah, we have to be a bit realistic. I cannot say today, I will go next week to LA. That's not so easy peasy here. Yeah. So, when will the tickets go online for the next LA Vertical Drama Market? When should the people be ready?
We already have pre-registration available for this year market. So basically, like whatever prices you see is we have like 3 tiers for attendees, companies, and sponsors. Like whatever ticket you buy, it will be like the highest possible tier for attendee, company, and sponsor. But we will have tickets on sale probably in August.
Okay,
Like we
so I
already.
will link in the description of this episode the link of your Instagram profile where they can get all the information if they are interested to join to attend. So
Yeah, I
they.
can also give you the link to pre-registration.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Then we will put that in the description. So, did I forgot Anything important about the LA vertical drama market besides it's a great event. Everyone should join.
Everyone has to join.
Okay, everyone has to do it on the bucket list. Join the LA vertical drama market. Okay, got it. So, if there is nothing else to say for now, I want to thank you for your time and doing this episode with me. Dana, it was a pleasure meeting you.
You
Sarah, you
too.
also. It was the first time.
Yep.
And we will keep you updated, I would say, about this LA vertical drama market. And thanks again for all the informations. If someone has more questions, you can contact Dana on the LA vertical drama market Instagram profile, or you can contact me. I will send it over to Dana. And thanks again, ladies, for this lovely conversation. I wish you all the best
Thank you for having us.
and talk to
Thank
you
you.
soon.
Thank you,
Bye.
everyone. Thank
Bye.
you.
Bye. See you at the
Bye.
next LA Vertical Drama
Yeah,
Market.
see you in
Yeah.
November. Thank you, Sarah.
November.
November
Bye.
5th. Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.